When you look at the ministry and the heart of Reagan, her heart was for the babies. When she first went over there 10 years ago, she was working in the orphanages with the babies. And then she started working with the single moms. And I'm like, when I saw the DVD, I'm like, God, how perfect. He knew exactly my heart, what he had already developed in there, a heart for babies and a heart for single moms. And just as Reagan had said, excuse me, just as Reagan had said, if we can save one mom, by saving that mom, we're saving that baby and any future babies that she might have. To see that that baby can be with their family and grow up in a home that loves Jesus and knows Jesus as their Savior. That is so amazing. I could have never picked out this ministry out of a catalog. It's so amazing to see how God knows each and every detail of our lives and how he works everything out so intricately and so specifically. And all we need to do is step through the door and trust him. It's really not as hard as sometimes we make it out to be. So when Reagan was talking about the abandonment and, you know, how the babies were left in the hospital and stuff, and to know that sometimes the moms really didn't want to do that, but they didn't know anything different. And so we can help them by telling them, bringing them in. She brings them into the home, and she, the first 3 months, all the mom does is bond with that baby. The encouragement of just that bonding. And what will my part will be is once that 3 months is up, the mom, they get the mom, whether she's young enough that she has to get back into school, into high school, they help her get back into high school and work with her. Or if she wants to get into a tech school to get a trade, they help her get into tech school. Or if she needs a job, so they will help her get into a job. And that whole time that she's there, generally a mom and the baby will stay about 9 months, depending, each situation is differently. But that whole time that they're there, they go to Bible study, they go to church, and they're told about Jesus. So they're meeting, they're holistically meeting all of their needs, the physical, the emotional, the mental, and the spiritual. And what my job will be is I will be working part-time in Hagar home. Because of the language barrier, it's nationals that will be working with the mom. So when the moms are at school or at work or at a Bible study or at a meeting of some kind, I get to love on the babies. I get to hold those babies and tell them about Jesus and love them that way. And I'll also be working part-time as administrative assistant in the office. So if you guys bring a mission, short-term mission trips over there in the next 2 years, I'll be the one that you'll be working with, and I'll set up all your meetings and all the things that you'll be doing. So I get to do a little bit of both of what's on my heart, but I also get to see those moms grow in Jesus and be a part of watching them grow in Jesus and accept Jesus. And so it's the two things that are on my heart I get to work with. How awesome is that? How awesome is God that he knows and he answers prayer and he works out in his timing. He gave me a scripture verse in Romans 10, verses 13 through 15 that I'd like to share with you right now. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's not a respecter of persons. Whoever calls on his name shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. God has privileged me with the honor of going over and being a representative for him. That's awesome. That's amazing. But you know what? God has privileged each and every one of you with the honor of being a missionary in Wilson, in your work, at your school place, in the community, whether it be the grocery store, the library, the gas station, He's called you to be a missionary right here in Wilson. He's honored you with the task of carrying His word, the good news, to those people around you. Go with God's grace and do what He's called you to do here at this time. He's called me to go to Romania. And like I said, if you had told me I'd be doing that 18 months ago, I wouldn't have believed you. But He has, and I'm honored by that. For me to be able to go to Romania, I'm asking you to partner with me for prayer. As I said, I have three adult kids, and they're adults, but I'm their mom. They're my babies, and they always will be my babies. And it's hard for me to think sometimes of leaving them. And I know it's been hard for them to think about me leaving. I mean, they're letting me go. They're working with that. But it's still hard for them. So I'm asking you to pray specifically for Angela, Jeffrey, and Jacob. I'm asking you to pray that as this transition happens, that God would keep them in the palm of His hand. And not only keep them, but that they would know that they know that they know it's God. That this life and this faith that they've been living is their faith. That God would make it real to them. That it wouldn't be just something that they're doing because mom told them to do. But they're doing it because they want to do it. They want to do it to serve their God. So pray that prayer with me. And pray that God will send people their way to continue to encourage them and make this transition smooth. And I'm selling my home. God gave me my home 8 years ago, and that's a whole story in and of itself. But God's called me to give it back to Him. And so I'm selling my home. Where I'll come back to in 2 years, I don't know. But God does. He's known that all along. And so I'm just trusting Him. So pray that all things work out, that God will bring the right buyer, and that in His timing, everything will fall into place. And as that falls into place, the doors will open for me to get my passport, or I have my passport, but to get the visa and the airplane tickets and all that I need, the money that I need to go over to Romania. I can have all the money up front. I can have all that stuff done and ready. But if I don't have the prayers of the people back here, the church family back here, I can go over to Romania prepared, ready financially. Without your prayers, I'll fall flat on my face. I need your prayers, first and foremost. But unfortunately, I do need financial too. I don't have the money at the drop of a hat. And what it takes to go to Romania for me is I need $11,670 cash up front before I can even think about going. And right now, God is blessed, and I'm at 71% of that. So I'm really on my way. But I also need $2,760 in monthly support, regardless, over and above the $11,000. And right now, I'm at about 15% of that. So I'm still kind of slowing down here. But God's faithful. So I'm asking you to partner. It says in that scripture verse, some are called to go and some are called to send. I'm asking you to be senders in prayer, your prayers, and seek God and ask if you would be a partner with me financially, how God would have you to do that, if that would be something He would ask you to do, to partner with me financially to get me over to Romania and work with Reagan and those babies and single moms. Thank you so much for hearing how God called me. And I hope something of it you can take and has been an encouragement to you, whatever you're going through, wherever you've been. A pastor the other day said, don't let your past determine your future. God is a big God. And no matter where we've been, what we've done, what's happened to us, whether our own cause or caused by somebody else, God is faithful, and all we do is lay it at his feet and trust him. Thank you, Pastor. You want it? We don't have to try to take it back and work it out on our own, because we're going to mess it up. We can stand on his promises, and he's developed that in me through these things that I've gone through. And of course, he's developed in me a heart for children who are going through emotional things. About 10 years ago, I worked in the bank in Stevens Point, and on my lunch hour, I was reading an article in the newspaper. And it was about a 6-year-old boy up in Michigan. He had a fight with one of his classmates. And the next day, he took to school a gun with him in his backpack, and he shot and killed his classmate. And as I'm reading that, my heart just breaks. A 6-year-old child. They don't understand death. I mean, the cartoons and the TV shows that you watch, somebody gets shot on them, or a cartoon character dies, and the next week, there they are again, up and running around. So a child doesn't understand the concept of death. But here he was. And I'm like, God, what caused this 6-year-old innocent? You think of them as being so innocent and so tender and so susceptible. And I'm like, how did he get this way? Well, come to find out, and weeks later, it's in the paper again, and one parent was in prison for dealing drugs, and his other parent, they lived in a crack house. Day in and day out, that's all he saw. He saw fighting and killing and drugs and all the anger and the garbage and the muck that comes along with that. And the gun was just laying there on the bed, ready for him. And all he knew is that he had had this argument, and the only way he knew how to deal with it is to take the gun and shoot them. Now, did he understand the concept that killed that child and that child will never live again? I really don't believe so. And that child, because of the notoriety of this, of the situation, I'm sure he was pulled out and put into a foster care. And that's great. You get him out of that situation. But what God showed me is, you can take that child out of that situation, and that's just putting a Band-Aid on it. It's like when you have a big cut and it's gaping open and you try to bandage it up without doing any of the ointment and the healing and the process of that. And eventually that wound is going to fester and open up, and the Band-Aid's going to split off and it's going to be worse. And that's with that little boy. The foster care system, if he didn't get into somebody who would deal with that heart issue, he had to live with the rest of his life with the fact that he killed somebody. And if you don't deal with that heart issue and tell him about Jesus and the forgiveness of Jesus, eventually that Band-Aid's going to come off and that wound is going to be ugly. What's it going to be like when he's 15, 16 years old? If that heart issue... And I said, Jesus, how many other children are out there dealing with these issues that this little boy is dealing with? And if they don't have a grandma, a grandpa, a mom or dad, or a neighbor, or an aunt and uncle that to tell them about Jesus, who's going to tell them about Jesus? Who's going to tell them that there is a future and a hope, and God has that held in the palm of his hands, ready for them to ask him to show them that future and that hope? Who's going to be Jesus to them if they don't have somebody in their life right now? And I said, I want to be Jesus to these children. I want to tell them about your love and your hope and your future that you have for them. I want to tell them that there's more to life than the drugs and the alcohol and the anger and the bitterness. And it only comes through Jesus. And I knew then that God was going to have me in a ministry working with these children. Where exactly? I didn't know. What would I be doing exactly? I didn't know. I just knew that God had called me to that. But at that time, my kids were still little. And my Angie and Jacob and Jeffrey, even though he lived with his dad, he still needed me. They all still needed me. They needed me to be Jesus to them for that time. And that's the ministry that God called me to. And I had to be faithful to that. I couldn't walk out on that. I couldn't go dragging them off somewhere else and minister to other kids and let them kind of heal on their own. And so I continued where God called me. I continued to minister to them. I continued to encourage them as best as I could in doing what God had called me to do. In 2005, actually in 2003, I met a missionary to, she was from Rustenburg, South Africa, a missionary to Rustenburg, South Africa. And she took in, they started up a home for abandoned babies. And she had, if you do creative memories, you know those photo albums that have all the creative memories and they have little stories with them and stuff. And they had just opened up this home, and so she had this photo album of all these abandoned babies that she had taken, they had taken in. And I was looking at these babies. And as I'm looking at them and hearing their stories about little children who are being raised, infants who are being raised and taken care of by their 4 and 5 year old brothers because their mom has died and their father's left them, or, you know, and they don't, they're working out on the street just to make ends meet, you know, to try to get food for their family. And as I'm looking these over, my heart is just, God, I want to be there, I want to help them. And so in 2005, God opened the door for me to go to Rustenburg, South Africa, and work with this missionary and her husband. I was there for only 2 weeks. And let me tell you, it was a whirlwind. I felt like we came, hit the ground, and back up flying again. And I came back from there, leaving my heart in South Africa. I came back from there knowing that God had called me to South Africa. I was going to South Africa. I left my heart there. And that's where I wanted to go back. I knew God had called me to missions, and I was sure it was South Africa. But that's where my heart really started growing for missions and going overseas. And I thought, I'll do it 3 months, you know, 3 to 6 months, but I'll be able to keep my life back here, my kids, you know, and when they get married and start having babies, I can still be a part of their life. But yet, I can still go overseas and minister to these people overseas and to these babies overseas in South Africa. And so I started, you know, knowing, really stirring inside of me that I'm going to be a missionary, whether it's 3 to 6 months, but I'm going to be a missionary. That's what God has called me to do. But I still knew my kids were junior and senior and in high school yet, and I still needed to minister to them. They still were my main focus. So when they, I felt when they grew up, you know, moved out of the house, that's when God was going to work things out and I'd be back in South Africa for 3 months. Well, as time went on, you continue, and I also am an administrative assistant in the Plover, Highland Church in Plover, Wisconsin. And so I'm continuing to do my work there and minister there. And there are days you sit there and you're like, God, I want to go now. I want to go now. I feel like I'm doing nothing, just pushing papers here, but I want to go now. And he's like, not yet, not now. Your ministry's here. Just wait for me. God knows the perfect timing. He knows exactly everything that needs to be laid in place. He knows things that needs to be worked in us to be able to get us to the point where we're really ready to go and prepared for what he has in store for us. We just need to wait patiently for him. It's hard. Patience is not a virtue of mine. It's not. And God is working on that. He's teaching me that that's the best thing, is waiting patiently for his timing. If we step out ahead of him, we're going to fall flat on our face. If we walk way behind him, we're going to miss some of the important things that he has for us. We need to walk right beside him, take him by the hand. Allow him to take us by the hand and lead us and walk side by side with him. Him ministering through us to those that we come in contact with. So I still had to wait. God put it in my heart, but I still had to wait. About a year ago, an opportunity opened up in Stevens Point. There's a ministry that's called First Choice Pregnancy Resource Center. In Stevens Point, in the high school last year, there was about 20 to 22 young girls that were pregnant. And I found it very interesting that these girls, I'd say the majority of them, if not all of them, saw being pregnant as a status symbol. They carried that with pride. And I'm talking to the director of First Choice, and I'm like, what are in these girls' minds? What causes them to, I mean, they went out and sought getting pregnant, the majority of them. It was something that they desired. And I said, what causes them at such a young age when they have their whole life ahead of them? They've not finished school, and some of these girls had goals and desires of doing something special, and yet they found themselves in this situation and they were glad. And she said that so many of these girls have this hole, and they such a desire to be needed and loved unconditionally. And they're not getting it from their home situation, and they're not getting it from their boyfriend. And so their answer to fill that void is a baby. Because we all know babies need you, and babies love you unconditionally. For a time. And then they grow to be about a year old or 2 years old. And we find out, they don't need us so much anymore. So at First Choice, what we do is these young girls can come in and they can get free pregnancy tests. If they think they're pregnant, they can get free pregnancy tests. But they also can connect with, we call them peer advocates. They can connect with one of us. And we talk with them. We ask, you know, just try to ask them about who they are, what their desires are, what their goals are, and how they feel about this pregnancy, if it's something that they're excited about. And I'd say 99% of them have not even thought about abortion, let alone adoption. They're determined they're going to carry it full term, and they're going to raise that baby. So we work with them on setting goals, and we work with them on, as they grow into, you know, developing their baby and into delivering it, we work with them in carrying that baby and how to raise that baby. If they're determined to raise that baby, we work with them and teach them parenting skills. And because when they come around and the baby's a year old, 2 years old, and the baby is starting to develop a personality that their mom doesn't like, they're like, hey, I didn't sign up for this, because you know what? That hole is there again. And so as we work with them, we tell them about Jesus and about his love. Now, we have to be careful, because some girls say, I don't want anything to do with it. And we don't want to turn them away. We want to still be able to build that relationship. We have what's called a mommy store, so they can earn money by going to doctor's visits, by talking with the peer advocates, and doing different things. And they can earn money for things for their baby, whether it be formula, whether it be clothes, whether it be a crib or a car seat. And so we're helping them to grow in their mommyhood, but also hopefully helping them grow into a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I see these young girls walk in, and when they have this tiny little baby in their arms, they are so proud. They're so proud and so excited with that little baby. And as 6 months go and a year goes, you see them walking with that baby, and they're frustrated. They're frustrated. And we're hopefully there to help. And I'm like, God, I want to help these young moms. I want to tell them about Jesus. I want to tell them that they don't have to do it alone. Whether they have their family support or the father's support, they don't have to do it alone, because you're there for them. All they need to do is look to you. If I can share with one mom about Jesus and see her come to know the Lord, everything I went through these last 15 years has been worth it. It's been worth it to see one mom come to know Jesus. And know that as she comes to know Jesus, she's going to affect that child. Well, I was at work one day, and generally what I do, the mail comes across my desk, and the pastor's mail goes in this slot, the associate pastor mail goes in this slot, the missionary letters go in this slot, you know, and I divvy up all the mail and then go about my business. Well, one day, this newsletter comes, missionary newsletter comes across my desk, and I'm like, Reagan Golgosh? I've never heard of her before. We don't support her. We're not on her mailing list. Romania? Wow. Home? A mother's home? And I'm reading this, and I'm like, it just really grabbed my heart. And I'm like, but I'm going to South Africa, right? And I could not put that letter down. I could not let it go. And the pastor comes out, and he's like, Gloria, what's going on? And all I could do is just read this. And he read it, and he says, you need to contact her. You need to find out what she needs over there. And you need to contact Springfield and apply to be a missionary associate. That was a year ago in July. By October of last year, I was approved as a missionary associate, two-year missionary associate, and Reagan had contacted Springfield and said, I want Gloria Pickett to come and help me for 2 years here. Had God worked in that? Absolutely. Absolutely. At this time, what I would like to do is I have a DVD that I would like to show you about the ministry that I'll be going and working with. And then I'd like to share a little bit more after that.